of the internationally acclaimed Positive Personal Power Podcast. This webcast is devoted to pillars of success and philosophies of life and the hardcore tools you must have to achieve success in business and life. Distinguished and successful, internationally known business and thought leaders Nathaniel Schooler and Stephen J. Manning give you their hardcore tools to succeed in business and life. Schooler and Manning are as hardcore about success as boot camps in the military and training camps in professional sports. Now, here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.
Well, after that amazing intro, I am privileged again to be joined by Stephen J. Manning. If you haven't listened or watched or read any of his content, he basically was responsible for building a very large marketing business that was pretty much on its knees when he started, and he grew it into a billion-dollar enterprise. So he's someone worth listening to, and today we're here to talk about successful career and what you are willing to do to launch one. And, you know, you might be contemplating change. You might be not really too happy in your current job. You might be looking for another job or a change of career. And that's what we're here to talk about today. And thank you, Stephen, for joining me again. I've been thoroughly enjoying these interviews and your wisdom from your decades in business and life.
Thank you for your kind words. I appreciate them. Thank you all who are watching and listening to this. And thank you to the many, many who have been tuning into us for these podcasts. We've done six, now seven. And it's amazing how that grows. Our audience grows. It's also satisfying to get a lot of feedback, which we do. Lots of emails from people who have tuned in. And as I said in the last time we did, both Nat and I publish our email addresses for a very good reason. We just love to get those emails, you know, and particularly the ones that focus on certain things that we've said or went on and on and on about that have found a tremendous relevance to them. And it's great to hear how some people assert that their lives were changed, who created a new focus in life, in business, particularly success, because so much of what we talk about is success. And of course, success in business ties with success in your personal life and vice versa. This is awesome. And I will tell you, it's satisfying for us to do, because again, these are topics we talk about and live every single day. We are not into, allow me this, Nathaniel, we're not into endless word salads. We're not into glorious prose. We're not into pseudo intellectual drivel. All of that means something and is relevant only if ultimately you sell something. Sell what? Sell shoes, cars, yourselves. We do that all day. We sell ourselves to our many, 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 many clients. You sell yourself as an intellectual being or a thoughtful, thinking, feeling being with people around you, family, friends, relatives, people you meet on the street. You got to sell something. And as I'm fond of saying, for over 40 some odd billion dollars of commerce, nothing much happens until you sell something. That said, you better know how to sell it and what to sell and whether you are the one to be selling it. That takes us to pillars of success. That takes us to success. That takes us to a topic for today, contemplating change. I have met none people. Great English. I have met no one who is now contemplating a change in career. And Nat and I are grateful to share that we've met people in the spectrum around the world. I'm not going to drop many company names, but in our lives, it starts with Apple and ends with Xerox. Name them. Between the two of us, we have worked with a couple dozen Fortune 50 companies. in fact, one or two global Fortune 10. You can probably figure out who they are. I'm not going to name the car companies or the tech companies that fit that bucket. All of that, we learned from all of that. And for us, it's practical. How to do that, how to do it better, why to do it sometimes. I hope we lend a lot of clarity to people's thinking about changing, contemplating change. It's fascinating when a CEO, celebrated CEO of a Fortune 10 or Fortune 20 company has to make a change. And then we get to have the privilege of spending endless hours, not on the golf course, because I don't play golf, endless hours talking about why. And if you want to do how to do it, and ultimately end up with focusing on that absolute intense, amazing career, and then add a dimension to satisfy that need. Often adding a dimension to satisfy that need. And I would glad to tell you just one interesting little story associated with that. If you want to, we can get into that. Anyway, I've started this by talking. I'm not lecturing, just it's been on my mind. It's 8:37 in the morning, Los Angeles. It's the middle of the day in Croatia where Nathaniel is. And I've been up for about 5 hours thinking about career changes, contemplating changes, betterment of people. It's an amazing thing that the most successful people I've ever known were absolutely dissatisfied with their station in life because they knew they could do better. And to finish this little segment, and you will all forgive me for talking about myself. And this ties into what you do when you contemplate change. How do you go about that? What are things you must do? It is exhausting and incredibly challenging and incredibly liberating for me to be the unhappiest person in the room when the thing turns out just right. Sounds like a paradox. It isn't. It's only sounds paradoxical, but the reality is that no matter what the project is, what has been, the challenge has been, I'm the unhappiest guy in the room when it turns out really well. Why? I know I could have done better. But time is not on my side. 100% solution is dumb to seek. 90% is just plenty. Sometimes 51 is necessary. We're done. Everybody wants to pop champagne, congratulate each other. And I'm sitting and saying, I know I could have done better. That ties into the paradigm of doing the homework, of preparing. You know what? I've been around a long time. I've done a lot of things that a lot of people would not try, which is why you ask me about changing careers. But I'll tell you what, I don't know if I've ever gotten a definitive answer to anything. I chased, and you know, I'm a shameless researcher. But what I do get when I'm done, sitting in the room saying, ooh, what I do get is I think that my ultimate conclusion, which is why we pushed the button, why we did that, nothing more than testable hypotheses. In other words, okay, got this. What does that mean? If that's true, what's next? How do you do that? What do you do next? And that's how I raise my kids. And that's how I tried very hard to impart this to many, many, many young people that surrounded me in my business career, whom I had the good fortune to talk to mentor, is don't think you ever got a definitive answer. What you got is testable hypotheses. So ask the next question and the next and the next and the next. If this is true, what's next? That's evolution. That's development. But don't stop and wait for that answer. Pull the trigger. I'm your poster boy for walking through that door when I see a little sliver of light, but I never did it blindly. That is an intro about 80% longer than you hoped for.
So, yeah, I mean, I've been giving a lot of thought to career change, to self-development. The past kind of 10 years of my life, I mean, I changed career. I was in the wine industry 12, 13 years ago, 14 years ago. and I was selling wine, and I went into marketing. Well, I went into selling brand design and then to selling beer, and, you know, because the brand design fitted in quite nicely with that, because I was selling brand design for drinks businesses for a very extremely experienced brand design firm in London, and that just fitted in really well with my life at the time. And it was a real challenge, but there's something rejuvenating about taking that new step. And it, we all feel stale, right? And we might lie to ourselves. We might say, oh, it's okay, and our wife might like the money, or our husband might like the money, right? But we can't lie to ourselves for our entire lives. And then you're going to end up like Ivan Illich, lying on your bed and realizing you lived someone else's life. And nobody wants that. Nobody wants to do that, right? So, like I say, I think that there is a rejuvenating power that comes from saying yes or saying no, right? Because, you know, if you say no, then you're going to say yes to something else, aren't you, at the end of the day? So change, I think, comes with positives and obviously negatives, because we're all scared. Everybody's scared of change. It's natural to be scared of change, but we've got to remember that enthusiasm and stress and worry are two sides of the same coin. That's something that I kind of picked up over the years. What do you think, Stephen, about the rejuvenation that comes with change?
Obviously, you hit on all the relevant points. Is the anxiety, the uncertainty, the exuberance, potential, it's all of that balance against comfort. I got this job and it's okay, pays the bills, plus that little vacation and a car every 5 years, you know. And on the other hand, if I could just do that, I would love to do that. Even worse, I would love to, and I think I can do that. Okie dokie, that's great. Meanwhile, we have to take care of our basic needs, food, shelter, and all that. The job is pretty cool. And then you sit at the job and say, job's cool, pays okay. Very comforting, because I go to work in the morning and I know what I'm going to do all day, what's expected of me. My boss will be either fine or an ogre, because one of the kids really bug them in the morning, you know. But I could just hide in my space, do my work, and get my 3.5% raise a year, assuming inflation isn't going crazy in the United States, which is paradoxically, I may not get a raise at all, rather than indexed. It's a very, it's a complex process, been through it. When I do my talks, one of the things I'm always asked to talk about, things I've sold and all of that. And, you know, I talk about, I've done this and that. And this really nice woman got up in the speech I did. And she said, to digress, this was a 45-minute scheduled luncheon type speech for a group of about 130 downtown business folks, and it was on success. Everybody wants to talk about Bill's success. As typical of my talks, sorry, the Q&A is longer than the speech, which means one of two things. I'm not particularly interesting in the speech or informative, or I leave a lot to explore. Woman got up and she said, sure sounds like, almost like you really haven't been able to hold down a job. I said, okay, really? I said, well, actually I grew up in a company which was 19 years and change. And then everything that followed was my own, other than all my blue chip clients for whom I'd done a lot of advisory work, media work, all of that. So no. I have held a job, but I was never reluctant to explore, hopefully thoughtfully, that opportunity and that one and that one and that one. And one of the things that you and I can talk about is, you're in a job, how do you do that too? Well, maybe sometimes you do that too, instead of just blow it up and go do something else. So you know what? I think that the balancing act between comfort and familiarity, you know what? Typically Thursdays, my boss is in a great mood because she goes to jiu-jitsu with Nat Schooler and has a really good workout. I'm going to have a good day. Fridays, not so much. So Fridays, I try to avoid meetings. I just go from typical work scenario. Sorry. Today we go stack one, A to Z. Then we go to stack two, A to Z. Then we go to stack three, A to Z. That's what we do. That's what we get paid to do. Very comfortable, satisfying because it pays the bills. And I can hide for the day because my boss is going to be really nasty because typically on Friday, Schooler beats him to pulp on a jiu-jitsu mat. But that is a genuine consideration in a job versus a career. I invite you all, haven't, to listen to our last podcast on jobs and careers. How do you create a career out of a job? How do you create a career? What is the difference? We vaxxed on for an hour about that, which I think is important. So I think I answered your question.
I mean, there is something, there are benefits, right? I mean, what my dad used to say when I was trying to make a decision about anything is take a big piece of paper, right? I know it's a bit old school for a lot of the people who listen to this, but take a big piece of paper and write down the positives and negatives. So at the top, list what you're talking about doing and write down, you know, negatives are you're going to have to work harder. Positives of staying where you are is that it's familiar to you, you know. But at the end of the day, you might be able to progress within the company that you're in. If you work on the relationships with people within your company, you can also get other jobs within that business. You might be able to get a job somewhere else. And actually, what's interesting, which I find absolutely mind-blowing, according to CNBC, research shows that 70% of jobs are not published publicly on job sites. And as much as 80% of jobs are filled through personal and professional connections, right? So think about that. So basically, you're going to go and you're going to apply for a job on a job site. You're going to find a job on LinkedIn. Oh, I'm excited. I'm going to get a new job. And you feel really excited and you really think you're going to get it. And then what's going to happen? Someone's going to recommend somebody else and you're going to get the mat pulled out from under your feet before you've even attempted to before you've even had a chance to get that job. So my personal opinion on this is talk to people who you perhaps have worked for in the past, people who you know. And if you want to develop into certain areas which you are not in, which I think is a big thing, if you want to become an expert in AI or blockchain or something, you need to know something about it. And if you want to move into the new wave of jobs that are happening, you've got to study. And studying doesn't mean watching Netflix every day and watching 2-3 hours of some junk that's not going to give you any information whatsoever that's valuable. It's actually studying and listening to, there's loads of free education everywhere. You can get MOOCs from MIT that I promote every time I talk about courses because I studied an AI one at a machine learning course from MIT. It was like 16 hours on machine learning. After like 10 hours, my brain was like, wow, really? Do I really need to listen to any more of this? But that's what you got to go through. If you want to become a top expert in that space and be able to perhaps take some of your skills that you've already got from your 10 years, 20 years, 30 years of management experience or 5 years of experience and be able to manage people within those certain areas, there are so many jobs that we don't even know what they are these days that I'm quite excited about the future of work. And actually the future of remote work is also very, very exciting for me.
Well, I think that I don't have a preference for this, but I expect that the overwhelming percentage of available jobs never make it to the exterior job market. They're internal. Many, many, many companies have hardcore policies to hire, promote from within. Now, how do you get promoted from within? Good God. How many times have I been asked that? How many times have you been asked? I'm really qualified for that, but I didn't get the job. Well, sometimes, regrettably, it's a matter of having what a lot of big businesses call the rabbi. Somebody in the ranks that has your best interest heart promotes you in the company. Most of the time, ties into one of our pillars of success. Say yes. Well, most people say no or say nothing. Can anybody do that? I can. Then figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Fail later. Don't fail
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
So it's the whole paradigm of succeeding internally that's really very interesting. And look, I've had the pleasure and the privilege and the dubious distinction of employing a lot of people. Which dubious distinction, because but for people, business would be a snap. Nothing do it. People make that all that complicated. And then the most, one of the interesting things for me was this person who ran a division in a company whom I just did not like. She was the antithesis of everything I thought a management person should be. She ranked to the proceeded to ranks for various reasons, none of them I like. And several times I said to this person, mind your business because you are in my sight. You're not what I want. I went as far as putting people in that division to see what was going on so I knew better. Because, you know, unfortunately, sometimes in companies, particularly mid-sized companies, you know, mid-size, anything up to a couple, three, 4 billion is a mid-size. There are people in positions that can create a real cancer, an intellectual cancer, and a workflow cancer, personality cancer. And then it's an elegant proposition to cut that out or not cut that out. Cutting it out seems like a great idea. On the other hand, sometimes you cut out a cancer and create a spread. The bottom line to that is that there came a point where my direct reporting, which was higher than hers, there was an opening. And of course, going to try to promote someone internally. And this woman came to apply for the job. And I interviewed her, had to, and I looked at her, what are you doing here? Now, you know that one misstep from you in where you are right now, you will be replaced. You're the antithesis of anything I want in my management structure. Now, you want to work for me very directly? I mean, do you don't like self-preservation? Do you have a death wish? And she said, no. I'll tell you why. I want to work for you because you never consider failure an option. One, which happens to be a pillar of success that we talk about. And two, I can do that job better than anybody else internally. Why? Because I've been working my behind off to keep the job I have, knowing that you're gunning for me. And I spend more hours than you believe on looking at everything that you do, which I can't help it. I am best suited employee for that job in this company. And I want to work for somebody who doesn't consider failure an option. And if you give me the job, you can fire me next Monday or next week or 2 years from now. I think you'll keep me. And I said, there's a couple of things you don't lack for. One of those is arrogance. She says, so was my mom and dad. With that, I asked her to leave. It took me weeks and weeks of interviews to find somebody better. But the point being is that person was ready to make a move, a good move, a relevant move, and she was indeed ready. She happened to pick the worst place to move to, upstairs, you know, from her office. But I give her nothing but credit. After I retired from the company, I was in my mid-30s, I know she stayed with that business for another 5-6 years until various things happened to the business, but she somehow, she survived. And maybe she changed a little bit because She understood. By the way, I did talk to her why she didn't get the job. And you didn't get, it's not that you don't have the cojones. It's not that. Not that you, but I found someone who just has a better skill set. Right. To which she replied, you are now dishonest. You want to say that to your boss's boss? Oof. You're dishonest. I said, why is that? You always say that you don't hire skill sets. You hire attitudes. You hire attitudes and brain power. Mm-hmm. Now you tell me you hired somebody with a better skill set? I said, oops, you're right. I hired someone with a better skill set also with a much better attitude.
You know? She sounded pretty annoying, to be fair. Bless her. You know.
Here's an English word from a non-native English speaker. She was vituperous.
Vituperous? I have no idea what that means.
Nor do I, but I say it frequently.
I'm going to look that up.
And when you do, send me a one-liner, will you?
I was thinking looking it up now, but I'm not, because it's going to get me off of the topic, right? And I mean, look, what we got to realize is that what's really interesting is apparently 85% of jobs that will exist in 2030 have not been invented yet. So if you are probably, you know, you might be listening to this and you might think, well, I'm really good at what I do and blah, blah, blah. And you might like to blow smoke up your ass, right? Like a lot of people do. You need to check your ego, check it at the door. If you're listening to this and you're like, well, I'm going to be fine. It's like, you will be fine. But I personally think you should be investing, I don't know how much of your time, well, probably 20% of your time on keeping up to speed with new developments, in my opinion.
But
I don't
do
know what
know
you think
that,
on that percentage,
you
Steve.
Do know that two things create those jobs. Invention, mm-hmm. period, and then progress. Yeah. And right. that dovetails to something else we talk about is, here's the thing, how can we impact it better? You know, you and I an hour ago talked about creating a brand new business, which is the absolute antithesis of AI. Okay? I created a search engine before man began walking upright, which was initially based on 100 college kids answering questions in an instant messenger format. Oh my God, you have humans doing that? Yep. How else am I going to build a truly intelligent database? Other than I hired 100 grad students who were really smart and worked for very little, who came up with a name. By the way, the working title was Mad Cow's Weight. Somebody said, ask an obscure question. I said, okay. I kind of know what a cow weighs, but what does a mad cow weigh? You know, the British mad cow, diseased cow? Who the hell knows? Well, I got to tell you, there were a half a dozen graduate students from USC and UCLA and Michigan, went to work an hour later. I got 100 pages of what mad cows weigh. I said, now there's a business. Answer questions in an instant messenger format, create a database. 6 months later, I will still have 100 people, but I'll have 1 million users. You know, a company, a little gig called Ask Jeeves, where do you think that was born, you know? Right now, I am thinking of a business that absolutely, and I've done some work already. I've done the legal work for it already. Mm-hmm. That absolutely is the antithesis of AI. Now, you know, I rag a lot about AI.
I know, okay. It's amazing. It's amazing the developments that have been kind of occurring. But, you know, apart from what I've just said about learning, ongoing learning, et cetera, what would you say to someone who's listening to this and is on the fence? They don't know if they're happy staying where they are or if they want to move or if they're, you know, they're okay. They're taking the paycheck. They're pretty happy. They're making a good chunk of change. What do you think? Do you think what do you want to say to those people that are thinking about that?
Okay, well, as a construct in your brain, contemplating change, because everybody does. I do. I'm only busy 16 some odd hours a day, and I read two or three, and then I sleep a little. And I'm still contemplating change because, as I said, less than a little over an hour ago, you and I started talking about a brand new business yet. You know, when am I going to do that? I will find the time. We're writing four books. Four. Okay. I'll find the time. Balance time, balance priorities, ask for help, whatever that takes. So contemplating change. So I think about that. First, if you're doing that, you need to balance or weigh, I want to do this versus I can do this. And then I will do this or will I do this? So anytime you contemplate change, let's be sure that there's reality associated with that too. Okay, so I wake up, I work for Prudential Insurance, I have a decent job, blah, blah. You know what? I want to become a neurosurgeon. All right? Well, that takes 13 years of basic study to begin with. And then have I got the goods to do that? Can I support myself to do that without losing my family and living on a milk crate somewhere in the mountains? Forget it. Don't do that. I always want to be an astronaut. Okay. Well, you know, let's go back a little bit. Is your vision like at least 2020? Is your body mass index perfect? Are there any congenital conditions, diseases in your family? Are you happen to be in college, having at least a 4-point grade point average in astrophysics? You think you're going to have a substantial career in the military somehow? You know what? You want to become an astronaut? It'd be so much easier to win multiple Olympic gold medals in the summer and a winter. So then what? Then I think you guys will forgive me for this. How about you get into and read our Pillars of Success? What is it you're going to do? First of all, I'm going to do that, and it's not idiotic. It's thoughtful. Okay. I want to buy a laundry in Alabama. I want to create a business that does this. I want a coding enterprise that's different because. And here's an obvious concept. If you're going to start an enterprise, you need to have a unique advantage in the marketplace. That doesn't mean you can't be me too. I always like Avis better than Hertz. Avis was proud to be number two. Why Hertz did all the breakthrough shit stuff, Avis adopted all the good stuff. Okay, so, and that's the same thing in get another job. I can't do that, and I have good reason to do that, other than, you know what, I'm just going to wish. The whole Tony Robbins thing, I'm going to wish myself to be taller, smarter, younger, richer, not going to work. You have to have some basis for that.
That okay? Meditation now, thing.
You know what? I said this before. You and I talked about this. You want to do that? Go out in the backyard. Go like this. Wish yourself to be taller and richer and better looking. Imagine yourself doing that. At the same time, imagine that the lawn is mowing itself. Okay? And somehow, the grocery bill also got paid. I visualized that. You know what? You are, all you folks listening to this, Schooler here is a quality athlete, okay? He's better than most, not as good as some. Humbly, I competed at the highest levels in a couple of sports in my lifetime before my body said, no mas. Visualization is important. You visualize playing that point. You visualize that hill. You visualize a certain move in what Nat does, jiu-jitsu. You can't visualize it, but visualization without basis and knowledge and fact is stupid. I can visualize myself dunking a basketball. Well, when I was young and I had legs and these, I could kind of dunk it. I could get up there and drop it. I could never stick my elbow in it. Good. Now I'm going to visualize doing that. Two slant dunk. Nonsense. Same in business. Same in another job. I can visualize. It's a time-honored disease for employees to say, I could do my boss's job. Absolutely. Why does he have that job? I'll tell you why. Most of the time, you might be able to do that job. How about the responsibility that comes with it? Listen, I was a young guy in a big candy store, thousands of employees, all of that. And you know what? How many people I hired had kids my age who would say, I could do that? Really? How do you feel at 3 a.m. when you wake up and say, uh-oh, I did something, I didn't quite think it out. How many hundreds of people are going to get laid off because I made a little boo-boo? It's not just doing it, it's having what it takes to make the decisions and bear the responsibility that goes with it. Back to core topic. You're going to make a change? You better know what the heck you're doing and why you're doing it. And that then you never, ever consider failure an option. You just don't. If you do, don't bother. You know, failure has an odor. It's malodorous. However, the reality is that almost every really successful person has failed before, has failed often, and have failed spectacularly. The one thing they all had in common is they never failed to do the work, and they never failed to believe in it and outwork everybody else. If it fails, something out of their grasp. Sometimes things that don't make sense just don't make sense. You want more on that? Drop me an email. But, you know, so then, before you do anything else, get that new job. Going back to the woman, the story I told a while ago. First, you got to do homework. How much homework? Not enough. When you're done with that, do some more. And then what happens? You become a shameless researcher. And then it's when you have an opportunity to make a move. Now, to digress, there is no wisdom. There's no substitute for wisdom on the firing line. Okay? There's no wisdom like, I've done it, this is how it turned out. Which is why when you're a shameless researcher, you do what Nat does, what Steve does. Man, let me cut to the bottom line. I called the Pope one morning early to ask a theological question. That's shameless. Shocking. Talk to the Holy Father. But then I also found out that the great brains who are in the trenches. And by the way, the whole firing line thing. You want to get in a firing line without knowing why you're there? You know, let's get in the trenches. What trench? Do I belong in it, etc.? The thing that I have found, and this is something I will preach to all of you listening who are contemplating a change. It is astounding how readily people in the know, folks that have been there, done that, or are there, are willing to help. Just ask. And sometimes you say, I'm asking because I can, and you're willing to listen to me. Most successful people are glad to share. You want to make a change? Make a list. Who the hell do I talk to? And by the way, I do that when I'm out of my element, without a doubt. Always have done that. I have been you don't, with due respect and humility, you are not like, you know, a lot of people get on airplanes as quickly as I have. I know a guy in Wisconsin up in the lakes who knows more about this than anybody else. I want to know. Hey, man, if I get on 2 planes and a puddle jumper comes see you, can I see you tomorrow? How many meetings did I have at Kennedy Airport at 6:30 in the morning? The people willing to talk to me, I just got on the red eye. Ask and you get. You don't ask, you don't get. People by nature, most people, want to help. Successful people, even more so. Now you say, yeah, well, they like to hear themselves talk. Well, many of us like to hear ourselves talk. That's not the case. The case is, I will help you. You know, I was in Chicago, and I was invited to talk to the business council. Week earlier, the guy who talked, he invented something called REITs, Real Estate Reinvestment Trust. He is a big-time real estate gazillion billionaire. And it's amazing when he was standing there talking to who? 150 financial leads in the world. So he said, this is what I invented. I make millions and millions doing this. Now, why am I here telling you about it? Good question. I will not give you the punchline because that makes for a fantastic story I love to tell. You want to know more about it? You invite me. I will speak and tell you the story of the chicken. Remind me.
You have to tell me that afterwards. You got to tell me afterwards.
But the point is, reach out. Now,
yeah.
I have been there 100 times, 1,000 times, and many times, and I'm fond of saying, I have an issue, I have a question, I have some uncertainty. I need your wisdom. Tell me about it, and I don't expect anything without compensation. I will compensate you for your time and your wisdom. Give me a guess to set up. How often did I get this back? Never mind. Don't worry about it.
Oh, loads and loads of times.
Most of the time.
You pay it forward. People pay it forward, right?
And sometimes I say something stupid like, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm still sitting at the American Airlines coffee shop at Kennedy talking to a nice guy whose freaking limousine is waiting outside. And I said, look, I'll be back in New York in a week. Can I treat you to lunch? We'll go to Peter Luger's for big steak. And you know what happens 9 out of 10 times? You don't have to. And second, when you come in, I will take you to my favorite steakhouse. People want, and you know what? I'm shameless. I will ask that question. And now, that said, I wanted to know something about Colombia. I don't know why. You know why I asked? Where I live, there's a team of maintenance folks in this area. One of the guys has been working here forever. It's Colombian. And I know he just went back for a visit. I found this guy. He's a maintenance guy. So tell me about life in Colombia today. I know a lot about South America, Latin America. You know what? I don't need to go to university. I don't have to get anywhere. The wisdom I got there is more relevant than I don't. You don't have to talk to the big boys and girls. Sometimes the young men that park your car in an office building share some wisdom at his level that is truly relevant. Don't be jumping into trenches unless you know why you're doing it, how you're doing it. Do the homework. If you don't do homework, it's insane. You want to commit career suicide. But all that ultimately dovetails to having what it takes, the substance, the willingness, forgive the language, the balls. To look at that boss and say, I can, when nobody else says that. One of our pillars of success. It's yes people that walk into the forest of business, which they know for damn sure it's full of wolves. They walk in there and slay the wolves and proceed to success. But they understand what it is, where it is, what the wolves look like. How do you slay those beasts? Blah, blah. Having done the homework. Now, do you want to make a change? If it's gnawing at you, if you wake up in the morning and it hurts, and you talk, and at some point your husband, wife, significant other said, dude, do it or get off the pot already. I can't listen to this anymore. You're miserable and you're making me miserable. Okay, that doesn't mean, okay, now I do it. That means now I really do the homework. So I can do it. and make sure it's attainable. It's not here. Low-lying fruits are easy. Anybody can do that. It's here. And then you can move a job. You can move a job. You can create a career or a job. You can create another career. And you know what? The thing about checking out, you know, only really, really, really successful people say, I've had enough. They check out and buy a bed and breakfast in the mountains. And that's not going to happen to us. I'm a working stiff. It's not going to happen to me.
That just sounds boring to me. But when it's so, sorry, I've got to interject there. So look, right. Let's look at these people's lives. Let's look, right. We're all on a trajectory, aren't we? Based upon our previous behavior, previous circumstance, knowledge that we have, we're on a trajectory. And you know, you've given one example to accelerate growth, to accelerate change, right? Do you think people need to sit down and spend some time on like putting a vision together for what they want their life to look like? And that would help?
Well, of course. I think, again, if you don't have a vision, then you can't create goals. If you don't have goals, you're not going to get it. If you don't then create a path to those goals, you'll never get to the goals. And you know, the sad part is sometimes people get there, they don't even know they're there because you never had quite a thought of that. You know, yeah, you have to visualize it. And you know what? Sitting there on the top of the mountain chanting, it's not going to happen. It has to be a real process. You know, it's not any different than counseling a brilliant person of finding the right mate. Hey, it's a marketing problem. If you create it, you know, I'll be glad to share with, if anybody wants to reach out and send me an email, I'll be glad to share you what my decision-making model looks like that I created some time ago. I gave it a really slick name. It's called the Manning Model. Very slick name, don't you think? And it's this one or one of many others that are out there that gives you a model. Let's look at the buckets necessary to move, to attain success, to make a decision to do that. Because a lot of very smart people have done a lot of this work before me and after me, much smarter than me. And here's how you make a quality decision. May I make a suggestion? When you find one of those that appeals to you, forgive me, look into the author. Okay, good. If it says anywhere they're tenured, stop. You gotta find nuts and bolts people who've been there, done that, or are doing it. They have a really good sense of all that. The boxes with the arrows and the slick pros works really well at Wharton, at Stanford, at Harvard and Yale and all that, at the Marshall School here. The reason I get to speak at the Marshall School of Business is because I don't draw boxes and arrows. I tell an anecdote about how that work out. And that's hands-on stuff. That's blood, sweat, and tears. That's successes, good ones, okay ones, failures, big ones, massive ones, predictable ones, oops, pandemic ones. So when you want to look at a business model, a predictive model, a success model, these are the things I have to do to change jobs, to move up, to create a career, to create a business. Make sure you consider the author's credentials. You know, if you have an author who doesn't have scars to show for the work and their successes and their failures, you are reading wonderful theoretical stuff. You know, I told you this before. I set a session. There were half a dozen professors from Harvard Law, Wharton, Michigan, and MIT. And it was glorious. And the binder was spectacular. If I had a bookshelf, I would put it on the bookshelf, but I don't. I don't display books. Why? Impress you? No. And all these people taking notes, and my God, how erudite these people are. And halfway through it, I walked up to the moderator, probably at the time the best known business forecaster in the world. And I said, I've been singing for 4 hours. Everybody's taking notes except me. But then I'm also the only one wearing jeans and a t-shirt. Everybody's wearing suits. I don't understand what you're talking about. And he told me to go tell the best bar in Cambridge and told me to go home. Not for you. And I said, my thinking is that of all these people talking here, I wouldn't give these people my car keys to go to the car wash. I think they get lost. You know, they did give me a phony degree, but that's another story. Long story is, consider the source when you model something about your next step, your next move. Talk to everybody who will talk to you. I sure as hell do. Listen, thankfully, a lot of people want to talk to me, but then I seek out, as I told you in the previous shows we talked about, I've gotten lost in airplanes a lot. When I happen to sit next to somebody very interesting, and okay, I'll sit there for another 3 hours, I'll buy another ticket, because I get an opportunity to learn something and will shape something I may or may not do. And it's, listen, you got to reach out. Most people don't. One of the advantages you have that most people won't do, the level of work that you, I know you will do. You want to change job, you want to change your career, you want to start a business, no substitute for wisdom on the firing line. However, you want to get somebody, you want to get people shoot at you without doing the homework? No. Homework, endless homework, exhaustive homework. Research beyond everybody else. Then you're going to outwork everybody else.
Absolutely. But like, this fits in, this is a big part of a happy life, and actually having goals which are segmented into certain areas. And I do have a model somewhere for that, that is on the legacymediahub.com website. So if anyone wants that, you can drop me a message, and I can put that together. My dad created it. He used it for, when he was a lecturer at London Polytechnic, he used that for, I think, 2,500 executives went there for their education over, I forget how many years, maybe 10 or 20 years that he did that for. So it's, I mean, and he picked that up. He made it himself from somewhere. And, you know, I find a lot of these goal setting things that you find are generally just too complicated for my brain. I find them way too complicated. And like when you talk about smart goals, that just complicates my brain as well. I think there are there's smart goals, and there's what's the other one? There's one that Google uses that's particularly interesting, because it's not like the smart goal version. It's actually OKRS, which is interesting. But you know, my attitude is, if something isn't working, you've got to work it out and work out what isn't working. Why aren't you happy? How can you re-energize? Because it's about energy levels, right? If you're feeling stale, you either need promotion, or you need a sidestep, or you need a new job, or you need a new career altogether, like a business that you want to create. So yeah, I mean, Stephen J. Manning just disappeared for some unknown reason. I'm not quite sure what happened to his internet. But on that note, I think we will finish. And thank you very much for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of your day. And do drop us a message. We will pop some links on the legacymediahub.com website. And wherever you consume this podcast, do reach out to us. Thanks.
Thanks for watching and listening to Positive Personal Power Podcast. Get access to all our podcasts and other important updates on www.legacymediahub.com and subscribe wherever you listen and watch your podcasts on the Legacy Media Hub YouTube channel.